You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Life is a rodeo. It's thrilling, it's adventurous, and it makes you feel invigorated and alive, and yet at the same time, life is a rodeo. It will buck you off, run you into the mud, and as the video said, all you can do sometimes is just hold on as long as you can. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and today we start a new series about the real struggles that we all face in life. We're gonna be talking about all of the most uplifting things, things like anxiety and shame and addiction and depression. But it's in the midst of this current mental health crisis that we have to talk about these kinds of things, and we have to talk about them tethered to the promises of Jesus Christ, the promises of what it would mean to live life close to Him. And the church hasn't always done a good job talking about these kinds of topics. Right, some of us have been taught to ignore them and ignore all the internal noise that you might be struggling with, just to buckle down and fight another day, while others are being taught to talk about anxiety over and over and over again, that it becomes our sole focus of life, and then any queasy feeling that we might have is an excuse to escape, leaving us just as bound to the very thing where we need to find freedom. But Jesus died to transform all things. He died to save you for heaven, but also to rescue us from all these things that keep us bound on earth. Things like today's topic, something that hits all of us, you heard it in the video, anxiety. And if the word anxiety doesn't make you anxious enough, I thought the 3 exclamation points might help some of us to feel a bit anxious as well. I mean, we all experience anxiety. It hits us in different ways, of course. For some, anxiety has the very reins of your life, and it feels like you're just along for the ride. Others, like I said, can completely ignore it. And then it just shows up at the most inconvenient times. And some of us in this room, we spent countless amounts of energy trying to wrestle down these anxious thoughts in our own strength, only to wake up the next day to have them ever present, as they always are. No matter how you deal with anxiety, most of us can admit that we experience a lot less relief from anxiety than we hope for. But what if there was another way? What if there was another life that we could live, a life marked by transformation and embracing the promises of God, a life filled with freedom from pervasive and constant anxious thoughts, a life more closely tied to Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 has this wonderful promise for us when it comes to anxiety. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Who doesn't want more of that in their life? I know I want a peace that transcends understanding. I want my heart and my mind to be guarded by Jesus Christ, and I know that my hope is that I would someday have a life where I am anxious for nothing, but it doesn't always feel that way. There's a gap. There's a gap in my life between the promises of God and my daily experience, and I imagine many of us have that same gap. As we start this series, we're gonna try something different, something we've never done before here in the church, so you can just try to work with me a little bit, otherwise this will fall miserably flat, and I will embrace the failure, but you can help. You can help by participating. And so what we're going to do, I should be a little fun hopefully a little interesting for all of us. We're going to take a live assessment right now in this room using our phones, and all of the results of this completely anonymous assessment will show up on the screen behind me in real time. All you have to do is text, and then you'll get prompted a number, okay? So you text Rodeo to that number, and then it will prompt you, and you will respond basically on a scale from 1 to 5, what's your current level of anxiety? Now, maybe before you type in the number, right, before you type in mild, moderate, severe, or panic, let me just kind of prime the room a little bit and share with you how anxiety hits me. Because you might not be anxious right now, but if hearing my stories, you might think, oh, you know what, that gets me too. Or that hits me as well. And so let me just kind of prime the room a little bit, you know, because again, just because you don't suffer from a panic attack or maybe a diagnosed anxiety disorder doesn't mean that you don't have anxiety, because it hits us all differently. It hits us all differently. Here are a few examples from my life. I don't think I'm the only one, but I guess I could be. Has anyone ever created 100 different responses to an argument that never actually happens? Well, if they say this, then I'm gonna say that. And if they do that, then I'll do this. And I've got all this like math equations figured out in my conversation, and the argument never actually takes place. I've just been stirring myself up with anxiety, creating 1,000 different responses to something that never happens. And if it's not future conversations, maybe it's rehashing old ones. You ever do that? That happens to me. I'll replay an old conversation that went poorly, and I think to myself, so I should have done that, or I should have done this. When they said that, I should have done this, and now there's gonna be this divide, and now I'm gonna have to, oh my gosh, and all of these things happen. This, again, this is anxiety. And the worst part about most of those conversations is that the other person moves on almost immediately, and I'm still bound to my anxiety. And I just get more anxious thinking about my anxiety. Just me? How about those little text bubbles that show up on your phone when you text a friend something really honest and vulnerable, and you see the text bubbles come up and you see them go away, and it says they read the text. It says it down there in the corner. And they never text you back. What's up with that? Now I'm anxious. I'm wondering if I've gone too far, if I've said too much, if I've been too vulnerable and it scared them away. Or maybe on a deeper way, you've had an anxious week or an anxious day at work, and you come home and you just spew that anxiety in the people that you love the most. They did nothing. They did nothing wrong. But you're just pent up with anxiety from the entire previous day, and it just kind of oozes out on your family. If that isn't making you anxious enough already, let's just throw out a couple of words. How about money or politics? Anyone's anxiety starting to climb now? I do this really weird thing where if I'm anxious about money, I'll check my bank account like 10 times in one day, as if something will magically change. And I'll just do a bunch of math equations like, then maybe this will happen. Then maybe this will happen, and so on and so forth. Are we getting, okay, we're getting a few. Most of us are moderate, starting to climb. I mean, I could keep going. Here's a really embarrassing one. Sometimes when it rains, I don't know what gets in my mind, but sometimes when it rains, I look at the cars around me wondering if my windshield wiper speed is appropriate according to the context that I'm in. That's really strange, isn't it? Are they looking at my windshield wipers going too fast, too slow? Why are theirs going so much faster? And all that's happening is my anxiety is being spewed into the speed at which I use my windshield wipers. I need help. But so do you. Y'all need help too. We're anxious people. We're anxious people. Okay, on a scale from 1 to 5, how anxious is our room? We are moderately anxious. Some of us are mildly anxious, and they're creeping into severe and even panic mode. This is just the reality of life. And that's pretty on par with a lot of the studies that are out there right now. By the way, it'll be really interesting, at least in my mind, what second service does compared to first service. But that's just for me, I guess. I'll tell you next week how you... It's pretty on par. You know, the latest stat that I read, 91% of young people say that anxiety is one of their top personal concerns. 91% of young people, top personal concerns. And a recent Gallup poll looked at all decades and all ages, and they report that 70% of people struggle with anxiety to some degree. And even if it's not your problem, even if you selected mild or you didn't want to respond at all, collectively it is our problem. because we rejoice with those who are rejoicing, we mourn with those who are mourning, we care and we love for one another in this faith community. And as a pastor, I just can't ignore those things. As a pastor who wants you to experience the fullness of Christ, a life blessed by God, we have to talk about hard things that wrestle and that we wrestle with and that even keep us bound. We have to talk about anxiety. And like I said, the church hasn't always been good at talking about these kinds of things, but it's too big of a deal to ignore. And so today we're gonna talk about anxiety. Tomorrow or next week we'll switch the topic, but we've got to talk about anxiety. Now, thankfully, the Bible is not silent on this topic. It's not silent on how to move from anxious thoughts or an anxious life to a life marked by the peace and presence of Jesus Christ. Time and time again, Scripture reminds us that if it is impacting you, it is important to God. If it is impacting you, it is important to God. And he is not only interested in healing part of your life, God wants to heal your entire self. He wants to heal your entire being. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." I love this passage. I love this passage because it emphasizes that the God of peace wants to make you holy in every way. In every way. Not just in your spirit, the part of you that goes to heaven to be with him forever. He cares about that, but he also cares about your entire being. He wants your body to be blessed and to be thriving. He wants your soul to be blessed, which would be your mind, your will, and emotions. And you know, the church, admittedly, has always done a really good job about talking about the health of your spiritual life. But your soul is really important to God. And if it is impacting you, it is important to him. He wants to bless and heal your entire being. This always starts when you begin a personal relationship with Jesus and you surrender your life to him. This isn't where it ends, but it's where it always begins. And if you've never started a life with God and you're here this morning and you realize, I need to go all in with Jesus today. Today is the day that I surrender my life to the Lord. I just want you to know that in our service, by the end of our service, we'll give you an opportunity to do that this morning. And I know that that decision will be the first step in many steps of your healing journey. We'll make space for that to happen later this morning. But as you think about that, and for everyone else in the room or online who's already made a decision to follow Jesus, let's look at this next scripture together, because I think this next one's a really important one for us when we're talking about the topic of anxiety and how God can move in our life. 1 Peter 5:7, this is in the NIV, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Again, he wants to heal your entire self. He wants to guard your mind and heart. He wants to give you peace. And why does he want to do that? Because he cares for you. Any parent would do the same for an anxious child. They'd scoop them up and hold them tight until the anxiety begins to experience some sense of relief. And God has the same heart for you. He cares for you. And we'll come back to this passage in just a moment, because there's more to it for us this morning, but this is where we need to start, that God cares for you. And any anxiety that might show up in your life, any anxiety that you might have right now, it doesn't disqualify you from a rich and vibrant or an abundant life with God. I mean, sometimes we like to hide our anxiety and just stuff it down. Other times, we will actually blame someone for being anxious or even tie it to sin, like they've somehow done something wrong and that's why they're anxious. But anxiety doesn't mean there's some hidden sin. Anxiety doesn't disqualify you from a deep and vibrant walk with God. Anxiety is merely a signal. It's like the check engine light of your soul. It's a sign that something is wrong, that something needs to be healed. And thank God that he cares about you. And thank God that he cares about those things, that he wants to heal your entire self, not just part of you. But in order to experience healing and in order to experience relief and transformation, it will take work. It will take work. Most of the best things in life often do. It takes work, and oftentimes healing requires partnership. And that partnership starts with God. And we all love it when God just like zaps someone and they're totally different, right? But that's lovely. That we call those signs and wonders or miracles, and those things happen. We love those things. I would love for more zapping to happen in my life. But the truth is, most of the time in scripture, when you see signs and wonders, they're tied to physical healings. And most of the times when you see soul work, like deep soul work, the kind of work that would make you a less anxious person, we would put that in the category of discipleship, not signs and wonders. And discipleship takes time. It takes effort. It takes learning to walk with Jesus over the long haul. It means learning to partner with God as he works in your life. And it's worth it. Imagine a life with little or no anxiety. Imagine the testimony, the freedom that you would experience. And again, it won't be easy. The best stuff in life rarely is easy. Being formed into a less anxious disciple and follower of Jesus will take effort. It will take work. It will take this partnership with God. And in order to partner with God around your healing, one of the first steps is that you need to increase self-awareness. You need to increase self-awareness. You need to become aware of your own anxieties. How anxiety impacts you, how it oozes out of your life on to the people closest to you, how it shows up in a work relationship or a friendship or at home. Again, anxiety hits us all in different ways, but it is a universal problem. It's why the Bible talked about it 2,000 years ago. It's not something new. We're feeling it in maybe a heightened way in this current cultural moment, but it's not something new. The Bible talked about anxiety for thousands of years. And it still applies today, but we need to increase self-awareness. It's why when you read Psalm 139, it says, "Know me and search me, O God. Know me and search me. Point out my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." The psalmist didn't write that because somehow he had figured out a way to hide his anxieties from God. And that somehow God was gonna be like surprised when he discovered that we're weak and broken and need healing. No, the psalmist wrote that because self-disclosure and disclosure from the Lord to us helps us in the healing journey. We need to become self-aware. God is often the one who helps lead that journey. And for years in my own life, I avoided my anxiety. And I pretended like I didn't have any at all. In my 20s, the way I dealt with anxiety in my 20s, I basically oscillated between two positions. One, pretending like it wasn't there, and if you just ignore it long enough, it will go away. Or like this really deep-seated pride that I didn't have anxiety and it was just something that other people dealt with. I mean, that's quite arrogant, isn't it? This is how I dealt with anxiety in my 20s. I hid it with over-functioning for everything and just taking on more and more and more, even if I wasn't responsible for it. I'd hide my anxiety with performance, and I'd work like crazy over and over and over again, just constantly taking more. And I worked so much that when I finally went on vacation, I would get sick every single time. And it's because my life was being lived as an anxious-driven performance identity that when I wasn't working, my body finally let down and I got sick. Every vacation in my 20s. In my 30s, I became more aware of my anxiety right around when I became lead pastor, which is kind of ironic. I don't know if it's tied to pastoring or not, but I've shared this before, I'll never forget this, because in my 30s, I became lead pastor. I went to the dentist, my teeth were hurting, and the dentist asked me, "Jeff, do you grind your teeth at night?" And I was like, "No, that's not me. I don't do that. I've never done that. That's like anxiety, like hiding all day and then it just comes out at night when you sleep in your subconscious. That's not me. He goes, "Well, let me take a picture of your tooth and how it's cracked. Like, I don't think that happened because you're eating cashews." He goes, I think you're grinding your teeth at night. You must have a really stressful job. He goes, what do you do for a living? And I go, I pastor a church. And we both just started laughing. And this is when I became much more aware of my anxiety. In my 30s, I did become more aware of it, but just truthfully, I was still trying to solve it through my own power and my own strength and managing my calendar and doing, which those things can be helpful, but I didn't have any power from God working in my life. But now I'm happy to tell you, in my 40s, things have really changed. I'm learning to rely on God in my 40s. It's been quite, now this is slightly a joke because I just turned 40. I'm very much a beginner in this. I'm still an amateur. But I'm learning. I'm learning that like I can't actually pin my anxiety down. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to rescue me. His self-awareness is key, and it's so important to our partnership around healing with God. But this is really important because as we talk about self-awareness in the church, I think this is really important because for the Christian, self-awareness leads us to the cross. That's its design. For the world, for people outside of our shared faith, self-awareness will lead them to self-actualization or some kind of enlightenment. But for the Christian, self-awareness doesn't happen just for self-awareness' sake. Self-awareness happens so that we'll run to the cross, so that we'll run to Jesus. Because this is the place where the great exchange can happen. Look back at 1 Peter 5:7. I read it earlier, but focused on the latter part. Now look at the front end. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. Again, we talked about that, but the beginning, cast your cares, cast your anxieties upon him. Don't just become self-aware so that you can walk around and tell people you're anxious. Become self-aware so that you can cast those things onto the Lord. You know, there's a false prophet out there right now. That was a little dramatic, but there's a false prophet out there right now. She's a Disney cartoon princess. She makes ice castles, and she got really famous by singing a song, Let It Go. You know what I'm talking about? Elsa. Elsa is her name. The reason I call her a false prophet is just a slight joke, is because letting it go doesn't always work with anxiety. You ever been anxious and someone just tell you, hey man, you just gotta let it go? That doesn't help. That doesn't help. It just makes me angry and anxious, by the way. Now, I do think that our life would all probably become a little bit lighter if we would learn to let a whole bunch of stuff go. Like there are probably a whole bunch of little things that you need to let go and just partner with God and move on. But when it comes to anxiety, the goal for the Christian is not to let it go. The goal is to cast it upon Jesus. To say, I wasn't created to live with this amount of anxiety, and thank you, Jesus, that you came, you died, and you rose again. I cast my anxieties upon you. As a Christian, you do not need to just let it go. Instead, you can transfer it to the cross where Jesus has already dealt with that anxiety. Last week, we talked a lot about salvation and how salvation is not just a word for your future heavenly self, although it is. God does want you to experience eternal salvation, but the word salvation means that you're saved for heaven, but you can also be saved today. That it's a constant and ongoing type of thing in our faith. And so according to 1 Peter 5:7, it would be totally appropriate for you to cry out to God and say, save me from this anxiety. Give me salvation from anxiety, Lord. I cast my anxieties upon you. Help me to know and help me to experience that you care for me as I experience salvation from this present moment. Lord, meet me in this place. That is a wonderful prayer as you learn what it means to partner with God for your own healing. Quick recap then, as we just kind of keep moving along in the scripture and in this message, he wants to heal your whole self. He does. Not just part of you, but he wants to heal your whole self. And that's gonna require a partnership with God, transferring things to the cross. The final point for us this morning, though, is that healing also requires fellowship. Healing requires partnership with God, but also fellowship with one another. I think it was Pete Scazzaro who said, nobody becomes the best version of themselves by themselves. It doesn't happen. We need one another. We need community. And you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been promoting small groups. They're all out in the lobby. It's filled with groups all around Northern Colorado. I'd encourage you to find a community where you can belong to and share deep vulnerabilities, share authentically, receive prayer, learn what it means to belong to a smaller group where you can authentically be you. But I also want to highlight this morning that we have an amazing opportunity that you can join coming up called Emotionally Focused. And all the info is also found out in lobby or votrweekly.org. And this, I'm just telling you, this is hands down the best discipleship tool that we have to offer you here at the Vineyard. It starts with a two-day intensive in late February. And then after that two-day intensive, you'll be invited into a six-month discipleship journey that Natalie and I will lead. And if you commit to it and you put in the work, it will totally transform your life. Our entire pastoral team's gone through it, and we are different people today. We're more healed, not completely healed, but we're more healed. We're more whole. And we're more of the humans that God has always intended us to become. I'm a better husband and dad. I'm a better leader and pastor. I'm a more complete disciple of Jesus. I handle conflict so differently than I did before. The stuff that used to make me stuck that I couldn't get beyond, I can now move through quickly. It's impacted every area of my life. I'm less controlling of outcomes that I cannot determine. Critiques on my leadership, they don't linger in my heart like they used to. My old patterns of overfunctioning have been replaced with a self-differentiation, and I'm able to actually take on more responsibility while still feeling light as I walk with God. Maybe the best thing is that I've started taking ownership of my own growth and learning how to partner with God to see areas of my life that have been nagging problems transformed. Again, EF is one of, if not the best, discipleship tools that we have for you, and we'll be launching that in February. So I want to encourage you to learn more by talking to Natalie or I in the lobby. Sign up today. Because I'm telling you, whether it's small groups, whether it's being an emotionally focused, whether it's going to boot camps and getting on serve teams and getting plugged into community, you need it because healing requires fellowship. We need one another. I'm going to finish with just one last promise from the scriptures. This is from John 14. This is a promise from Jesus to his disciples as he's getting ready to go to the cross. It says in John 14, verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Imagine with me a church where people could walk in with moderate to severe anxiety and walk out with the peace of God. Imagine what that would do to a community. Imagine your family with less anxiety in the household, less anxiety in the system. Imagine your own life. Not a peace the world can give, not a peace that comes from the countless substitutes that are at your fingertips, but a peace that comes from Jesus Christ himself. My prayer is that I will and you will and collectively we will all experience greater and greater levels of this promise each and every day as we learn to follow Jesus, as we learn to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Let's pray together.